Mark Donald served nearly a quarter of a century as both a Navy SEAL and a medical provider, entering the military at an early age in an effort to escape the troubles of his youth. He toiled his way through the military ranks to achieve accomplishments he never imagined. In what started out to be a simple tour close to home, Donald went on to serve a storied career as one of the few naval special warfare qualified medical providers in the United States Navy. Battle Ready follows his evolution as a warrior and healer, and it's a great pleasure to welcome Mark Donald to the program. Thank you very much for being with us.
Well, thank you for having me. It means a lot to be on the show, and I appreciate it.
It's wonderful to have you here. This is a memoir, as you state, of a SEAL warrior medic. As I mentioned in the introduction, this perhaps was the furthest thing from your original career goal or your thought. What brought you to that direction?
Well, actually, it was. I was looking to join the military. I joined the Marine Corps to really just kind of escape where a lot of my friends were going, and family members, more so family than friends, getting involved with some troubles around there. And in that process, in the Marine Corps, I kind of had a calling toward medicine. And there is no medicine in the Marine Corps except for the Navy medicine. They provide that. So I transferred from the Marine Corps into the Navy. And having had a special operations background with the Marines, I kind of got challenged a bit to go ahead and go to BUDS or SEAL training, and that's where it kind of all started.
And what was it? Was there a thought of something that was lacking, or something that you personally wanted to experience in becoming a SEAL warrior medic? I mean, was that a natural?
Yeah, well, I think so, and I kind of describe it on there because a lot of people will ask, what does it take to be a SEAL, and what is that what is it that makeup of that man? And I say this, it's kind of, those people are already produced. The Navy doesn't really make SEALs in my mind. I kind of talk about it a lot in the book. They're made for mom and dad and the neighbors and the teachers and all those people. They influence them and make them who they are, and create that attitude or that calling, so to speak, to that, as well as I think our inner desire to call for caring for man through medicine or some through religion. I think that's a calling from above. But needless to say, all the Navy does is really validate it. But really, the book isn't about that. This book isn't about what it's like to be a SEAL, and it's not even so much what it's like to be a medic. It's about someone who had to take a oath to save lives and take an oath to take lives, and that dichotomy and the strain and the pressure that was built on that, and how that added to, was not the cause, but added to the difficulties I had dealing with combat and combat stress when I got back. That's really what the book is about.
And it is it's a story that you tell beautifully, in the sense of trying to put into, as you say, you take this oath to save people, but you also have taken another oath to defend your country, and that can be in inflicting death on others. So of putting that into some sort of context and understanding it for yourself is very difficult, and also there's not that many people doing that, are there?
No, there's a limited number but you have to have them. America knows that you have to have care, frontline care everywhere out there that the soldier, sailor, airmen, Marines are, and unfortunately our enemies don't recognize that as being medical care. So you're going to have those people wearing those dual hats. But going back to what I want to let everyone know is the reasons for writing this are really to express three things, and I hope people get this out of it. One, I wasn't the all-American kid, and I was able to get through everything that I was able to do, to include training, to include service, and definitely my time on the battlefield through the help and service of others. I am not that guy that is supposed to be some Iron Man that can do these things. I was able to accomplish that through the help of others. And three, even though I had received some high-level awards from our country, I didn't have the strength and the ability to face the problems that were going on inside of me. And by hiding those away and trying to tuck them away and deal with them myself, I almost destroyed myself. I damaged my marriage, almost destroyed my marriage, destroyed relationships with my family, with friends. I really want people to understand, don't do what I did. Have the strength, have the courage to come forward. I'm very, very open, very candid about the problems that occur and why they were all on me.
When you receive awards like the Navy Cross or the Silver Star and the Bronze Star, I mean, obviously there's a part of you that says that this is a great honor, but for you it was also that question that I think a lot of us go through in one shape or way, shape or form in our lives, which is, okay, but am I worthy to receive this?
Well, it's not really, and I go through a conversation that a colonel had with me that pulled me aside and the difficulties he had receiving, accepting his awards and him telling me what I needed to know about receiving these because I didn't want to receive any award at all. When it comes to a Valor Award, I don't think there's any veteran out there that's received one that really feels truly comfortable. And here's the reason. In order for me to do to do my piece of the puzzle, to do my part, someone else was coordinating air support. Someone else was laying down suppressive fire. Someone else was flanking the enemy. Someone else was throwing out smoke. Now, some of those men got wounded, got injured in that process. One of those men gave his life willingly just to give me the opportunity to live. That battle went on for 8.5 hours. In the opening sequence, he had no idea that opening portion of it, that it would go on that long, yet he accepted that. So when I received an award for the actions, a lot of that came on me, and I started asking myself, why am I getting this? Because I didn't do the sacrifices everybody else did. I was just one piece of it. But that's a struggle, and that's something I felt that I needed to say, and the American people needed to hear about that, because those medals come with weight, and that weight is responsibility.
You talk in the book about how you really struggled with putting the book out there. It had been in the making. It had started as a journal, as a form of therapy to combat stress, and then combined with personal notes, that it starts to develop, and this journey kind of just pours out of you. But then there's really that conscious decision that says, okay, what effect is this going to have on my life? What effect is this going to have on my family? And do I really want to share these things that I have tried so hard to keep private?
Absolutely. There's strength and there's extreme vulnerability with saying this. I go out and I give speeches and I try to reach out to veterans and just try to reach out to the American people and talk with them about different issues. But when I get up there and they announce me, they say, well, I'd like to welcome a national hero. Well, here's the problem. I get up there, and they may be saying that, but in my mind, I'm thinking, well, I'm the guy that failed to throw the grenade in the opening, portion of that battle, and had I done that, I probably could have saved a lot of lives. I'd been trained on it. I'd been in special operations 16 years. It wasn't my first firefight. It wasn't my first, time in combat, but I didn't do that. I'm the guy that forgot to have my smoke at the ready because I took them out because they were uncomfortable on the ride in, and when I needed them, they weren't there. I'm the one that had to make a decision on whether I go toward one person that's wounded or go toward another, and had to decide, against a Hippocratic oath because one was American and one was a NATO force on how that would work. So before anybody can call me a hero, they really need to hear what I didn't do and who I am not. And that's when the reason why it sat there on that dresser for so long, because it does, there's going to be people that are going to look at it and go, how could you do that? Or why did you do this? And why did all these things happen the way that they did? And it should have been different. And I know that. I could have taken a different approach to this. I could have said, hey, I'm just going to talk about, the good here. But there's been a lot of healing by me letting other people know, that ain't me. know, I'm not that Iron Man guy, and these are my mistakes, and I am so sorry for them, whether it's been harmful to my family, my friends, my neighbors, whether it's been a mistake on the battlefield, whatever it is, I need to say these things.
One could argue that for everything you didn't do, though, there were those moments that you did the right thing.
I did my job.
And you did your job. And you did what you had to do. And so how were you ultimately able to come to terms with that there are those moments, none of us are perfect, and you really get out of that a label of a hero or valor and say to yourself, okay, I did my job and I did what I had to do?
I think the way that I've come to cope with it is by talking about it. Generally speaking, the American people are so forgiving, they're so supportive, they're so understanding that and it's something I knew, but yet I denied it. I denied it to myself when I knew I could have reached out for help and I could have done things. I denied it. But I needed to go out and say that and see that so that I could come to that. And hopefully in the process, other people that are listening that may have problems or maybe dealing with things, whether it's I'm a single mom and I don't know if I'm doing good at work or I'm being a good enough mom, or I'm a dad, I'm coaching, you know, the football team, and I'm also trying to be a good husband, I'm trying to be good at work. And we all go through these dichotomies in life where we're challenged on how we are and if we're being good enough. And the fact is that what I wanted to say is everybody will accept that. It's just what we have to do is just reach out for the help when we have it, put our humility aside and do that, and two, be there to support others. You know, my mom told me, and I say it over in the book, and it's been a lot of healing for me, is that people do want to help. You just got to tell them how, and they'll be there. And that's what I'm trying to do is let people know, this is how you're helping me, and this is how you can help a lot of others.
The name of the book is Battle Ready, Memoir of a SEAL Warrior Medic. It is published by St. Martin's Press. Mark Donald, a great pleasure. Thank you very much for sharing your story with us. I appreciate it.
Thank you. I appreciate being here.
Thank you very much. Again, the name of the book is Battle Ready, a memoir of a SEAL warrior medic. It's published by St. Martin's Press. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.